30 years of advice for your house, home, castle, or cabin.
Y'all have things you want to get done.
It's Rosie on the House.
On this beautiful Arizona Saturday morning, it is the first Saturday in December. If you've listened to this broadcast anytime in the last 8 or 10 years, you know that means it is the official kickoff to Christmas season. And we do that at the city of Prescott. They've got their annual parade along with the courthouse lighting. It's a wonderful time, wonderful family experience. It's a town that has that, as Robert Steve from Arizona Highways nailed it last week. We always try to look for the word to describe it. He said that Charles Dickens America. It's that perfect setting for getting in the Christmas spirit, which if you've grown up around creosote and saguaros your whole life, can kind of be a hard season to get into. And the city of Prescott does a great job getting you in that Christmas mood. We also would like to take a minute and congratulate once again
Overhead Garage Door Company of Tucson and Southern Arizona
to our Rosie on the House Contractor Certified Network. You have to be in business for at least 5 years, licensed, bonded, insured. You've got to go through a third-party review and survey called the Guild Quality. You've got to have clear credit references. You've got to be clear, this is the hard one, references by your competitors. And you also get blind shop from Rosie on the House. You have to sign a code of ethics and a written complaint resolution policy. So getting on the network is no small feat. And we've got now a garage door company to service all of our Southern Arizona listeners.
The Overhead Door Company of Tucson and Southern Arizona.
Serving Arizona since 1979 and are excited to be part of being every Arizona homeowner's best friend here at Rosie on the House. And this is the 9 o'clock hour. It's open line hour. Questions to 411-923. And email, of course, at info@rosieonthehouse.com. If you have a question about a certain product or you need a picture to help describe what it is you're working on, snap it photo on your cell phone and send it over at info@rosieonthehouse.com. And we also brought in a special guest this Saturday. A lot of times when we're out and about on these busy weekends and being in Prescott and having that Charles Dickens America, we asked around for somebody that could speak to the architecture of the city of Prescott. And three different people, including Tom Riley of Renovations, which is our general contracting and renovation partner in Prescott, said the only person you need to start with is Bill Otwell. And we've got him on the line joining us this Saturday morning. Bill, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
Talk to us a little bit about your personal history and leading up to this point in your life.
Be glad to. Graduated from the College of Architecture at ASU in 1973 and moved to Prescott in 1974 to really complete my final project that I had designed at ASU, which was a passive solar home built out of native adobe using a solar greenhouse, solar water heater. And I built that home. It became one of the first passive solar homes in Arizona, and continued to explore the possibilities in Prescott. And along the way, looking for old adobe buildings, I kept bumping into these great historic projects. I met a woman named Elizabeth Ruffner, who is really the grand dame of Arizona preservation. And she said, you better start working with these old buildings as well as building your new energy-efficient buildings. And so along the way, I've restored a lot of the buildings on the Courthouse Plaza and continue to do preservation work around the state and around the Southwest.
And that preservation work, that's no small feat. You've got a lot of challenging things, and I'm going from a frame of when we remodel a home in a historic district, the amount of limitations that you have to keep something historic, yet everyone's goal in today's building is the best building materials and energy efficiency. You can't always match those two together.
Yes, that's true. In fact, early in my career, I really thought of myself as wearing two hats. One was the energy efficient design hat and the other was the preservation hat. And of course, along the way, I've learned what Carl Elefante, our current president of the American Institute of Architects, has said, which is the most sustainable building may be the one that already exists. So we've learned how to restore these buildings and improve the energy efficiency of them at the same time.
And why is that? What makes an existing building more efficient than starting from brand new?
Well, everyone is different, of course, but there are a lot of common things. One is daylighting. Great historic buildings, a lot of the buildings that we restore in Prescott are from around the 1900s, early 1900s, have great daylighting. They tend to have a lot of south-facing windows whenever that's possible, so there's some passive solar gain. And perhaps one of the biggest things is what's called the embodied energy, the amount of energy that it took to build that building, to quarry that stone, to make those bricks, all the labor, the transportation that went into building that building. That energy is basically embodied in that structure. And if you were to tear it down and build a new super efficient LEED certified building, you'd be throwing all that energy away. We've learned is that the amount of energy it takes to build a building is much, much more than the annual energy operating cost. So if you can just improve the thermal efficiency of an historic building, you may be, 30 or 40 years ahead of the game from a total energy budget standpoint versus tearing it down and building a brand new building in its place.
And I selfishly ask that question because something we're faced with constantly here is people are doing improvements and projects to their home as going for a cheaper material that's going to last a shorter amount of time instead of investing in something that's going to last longer and stay out of the landfills or be a permanent solution instead of just a temporary lipstick job to get, a quick sale on a house flipped.
Right.
I can't stand the amount of junk that gets manufactured and put into our homes.
Well, that's really true. One of the most important things to me is to preserve the historic windows in a building. They give the building the character, especially when you're in the inside looking out through that. Right now I'm looking out through a window that's 112 years old, and I have restored all the windows in this building, and I did so 30 years ago. They're still fine. Some of them we had to totally replace the sash. Many of them, though, on the north side still have the original wavy glass versus a vinyl replacement window that, if it gets too hot in the warehouse in Phoenix, is going to warp before you even get it in the building. So that's those are some of the important things that I like to save whenever I can. And we look at the really two major things. One is the significance of the historic element. Is it an original window or an original plaster wall or original moldings? So that's significant. And then the other thing is the integrity. What kind of shape is it in? Can we restore it? Can we keep it? Or is it so far gone that we have to replace it?
And in preservation, there's a lot of situations we end up where we've got to make a decision that doesn't financially make sense, but the value that a preserved and historic home can bring to a neighborhood makes it then worth that investment, where you may never get your dollar returned on this upgrade that you're doing to the historic home, but to maintain the home and the structural integrity and, the basic functionality of living in a home, it makes sense because you keep the historic preservation of the home.
Well, yes, I think it's similar to restoring an antique automobile. If you have the original radiator cap and maybe the serial numbers on the engine match the serial number on the frame, and that makes it more valuable. I think it's true with buildings as well. And oftentimes we can achieve similar R values to new buildings by insulating these buildings. The building I'm in now had a hollow cavity in the exterior wall, so we filled it full of foam, and the attic had no insulation in it. We foamed that, and so our envelope, our values are similar to what we would do with a new building.
And a well-designed building, and I know we're designing them a lot different than we were 130 years ago than the building you're sitting in, how long should it last? I mean, with the building science they had 130 years ago in the 1800s, how much longer do you think this building will be structurally sound?
That's probably the biggest thing we had to do when we restored this building in the late 80s, and that was adding a significant amount of structure. The floor spans were too great. They were 2x6s, 2 feet on center, 16 feet long, and I had to put extra beams under the floors on both the first and second floors. We had to beef up the roof trusses a little. But the walls are perfectly fine. We didn't have to do anything to the walls other than add the insulation. And I think the building can have an indefinite lifetime. You know, we make sure we keep the termites out of it. And I'm still on the same roof that I put on 30 years ago, but I put an aluminum coating on the roof every 10 years. And that's a 30-year-old roof. It's going to go another 10, 20 years easily.
We're talking with Bill Atwell. Bill, for everyone listening, I completely jumped right into the interview because I was so excited to get to the content. But the name of your firm?
It's Atwell Associates Architects.
And you're a licensed architect for both the state of Arizona and?
I'm also a fellow in the American Institute of Architects.
More with Bill Atwell here at Rosie on the House right after this, talking about what it takes to become and get registered as a historic home, as well as some of the iconic ones that you, the Arizona homeowner, could put into your daily routine to go check out and appreciate a little bit of Arizona history.